Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is Barbara Schrader, S-C-H-R-A-D-E-R, born August 22, 1964. This is my story. And I tell this story in the room of my living room, in my home that I grew up in, with the Christmas lights on, with the stable and the tree, and a place where people gathered for a family meeting after my baptism. And that was the only family meeting. I believe that the greatest glory of God is the human being fully alive, just like Saint Irenaeus. And I'm in the house that built me, like the country song Carrie Underwood, for it did build me by its stories and its people. I've been to 52 countries, actually 50 states and 32 countries. I was born to two heroes. My dad, who fought in the 35th Infantry Division, World War II, Normandy to the Battle of the Bulge, Bronze Star, French Legion of Honor a year before he died, and my mom, who fought valiantly after 2 years of being in the hospital after she had me with postpartum. My dad and Hazel helped me stay alive during that time. But I know that I was also feeling alone. My dad always there to tend me after having been in battle for so many years. The most important person in my life were my mom and dad and God. My mom and dad touched and taught me so much. They continue to live with me, as the generations before, since I've never known the generations of my time or future. My earliest memory of my mom and dad and God is when my dad would make a stable each year for the plastic light-up figures. And he put hay in there, and when I was about 4, I realized this was Bethlehem. This is what it was about. And I really believed that I encountered God. Another time was when the power was out and we had the sleeping bags and Dad was stoking the fire. And I woke up in the middle of the night and just sat there and realized that I could have been in an orphanage, but I was in a family and they were my family and we were the Holy Family. What I'm proudest of is my time at Duchenne Clinic, renovating the clinic that maybe my great-grandparents helped build, and my dad's Legion of Honor, and taking care of my mom and dad, despite community friction. I didn't believe that I would have left the Sisters of Charity now, but I know that it was the right decision after 27 years. I'd like to be remembered as one who tried to live fully despite, for my creativity, my historical connections, and always trying to help people. That's even a more challenge right now, given all my disability and my government disability rating with my 12 diagnoses. I try to struggle and see where God is calling me now and to live that fullest. And I hope sometime someone will come along to love me as I love them. Belonging, attachment, and abandonment probably will always be my challenges, but I still try to overcome, and I think I do a pretty good job. I'm skipping grandparents since I never knew my grandparents on either side. But I am Barbara the 17th, a name following my mother's maternal side. The song Silent Night has always been a thread in my life, as my dad would sing it when he cut grass, even in August. And then, on the day that he died, we were singing Silent Night. And on the last note of Sleep in Heavenly Peace, Daddy went to heaven to sleep in heavenly peace. That song continues to appear and resound within my life. I was lucky to be with my mom and dad then, and the Catholic priest, Matt Brumley. And with my mom when she died, I was the only one there. My community had left me. But it was good to be with my mom the last 3 years of her life. As hard as it was with her ileostomy and everything else, we were able to bond more than we had my first 2 years of life. My mom and dad always dreamt of wonders and worlds for me and did everything they could do to make it happen. I always said that it was a lucky strike when they met at the bowling alley with nothing to spare, and then they had the 9-pound bowling ball, me, 2 years later. And were they proud of me? They were always proud of me. I do this recording because there's no one left. No one alive to know any of my story, except pieces and parts. No family, for the now and for the future. So it's up to me to carry the stories and the story of me. I was born at St. Joseph Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, on Prospect and Linwood. I grew up in Independence, just like Harry Truman, and on Delaware, like George Washington crossed. My first memories are being lonely and imagining companions, Susie and Jesus. My parents were loving, creative, and funny. And the worst thing I did was kicking in the door. My mother never let me forget that, because I was mad. I was in trouble for something that wasn't mine, but I couldn't tell her that, and that's why I did that. I didn't have any siblings. I was cute and always dressed up, except for my uniforms. And I loved our vacations in our station wagon, where we went to so many states, and Daddy and I would put the clear sticker with highlights of the state on the back, and we took our little saucepan, which I still have, to put that on. That was our job. And Daddy wouldn't put anything on his car, but he put those on the glass, thinking that he could take them off if he wanted to sell it. My nickname was Barbara Ann, Barbara Annie, and boy, did it have a different sound when I was in trouble. My best friends were Joe Beth across the street, whose mother committed suicide when I was like 4, and Paula next door, who was a family that was divorced. Everybody was older, at least 10 years older, so I never really had a pal. My perfect day, I would say, was when we were traveling and encountering history in museums, especially wax museums. I guess what I thought of when I got older was that I was supposed to do something with these gifts that I had. And I encountered the dilemma of truth and following and advancement in first grade, when I had sold the most Chili Supper tickets, to my mom's credit, telling me how to be and what to say and wear my uniform and my speech. I did that at the bank and the grocery store and anywhere else, and I was a top seller. I sat there in first grade And Sister Christine got the high sign from the principal and then pulled me out. Two adults grilling a six-year-old, saying that my parents had bought the tickets. And I spoke up right away, and I knew that this was a cost, but this is what my parents had told me about, to stand up for the truth no matter what. So I did, and I explained how I had sold all of them, and the different names and the different writings, because I didn't know signature, and the different pens from the big pens. And I pleaded my case as all there was. I got the bike. I won. My dad said, sit out. Second year, you're not selling again. Third year, I said, I want to sell again. And I did, and I won another bike. But my mom and dad put money with it, and I got a bicycle built for two for us, of which we had so much fun. Daddy would have had more fun if I had pedaled. But, and then I really didn't have any yen to do that after that, except in fundraising at Duchenne Clinic. It was a cause that I believed in. I worked in development fundraising for Duchenne Clinic, Central City School Fund, Crystal Ray Kansas City, being a founding member as a SCL, and other places. And I got a master's in health administration, but first, an associate from Longview in word processing and legal secretary, a bachelor's in business administration from St. Mary College. So my leaving was leaving my college and my life of 27 years. And then KU, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, go KU, with my mom and dad sitting there perched like little Jayhawks at my graduation. It was to help me be a hospital administrator, which I hoped for in my community of 9 hospitals. But I think I had already been railroaded by that time. And that's very sad. I got into fundraising because I was so cold. And I wrote a letter, just a letter, to Irv Hockaday of Hallmark Cards. I talked to him at a volunteer workshop. And then different studies, energy studies, and $50,000 for new windows in the whole building, a 90-year-old building. I worked there for 7 years, and that was probably my most fulfilling time in life when everything came together. Growing up, I said I wanted to be a nun or Peggy Fleming, the ice skater. What life has taught me is that it's all about connections, and unfortunately, accommodations. But connections, it's all there, you just have to find it. And now with my disability, I really don't know what I'm called to do. From my head injuries, 13 head injuries in my life, 4 in the last 5 years, 2 in the last 5 years. And I even do this recording by myself, because I don't have anyone else to ask me the questions or who has an interest or time. And that makes me incredibly sad. But I have to just go on, charge to the next hill, like Daddy. I grew up Catholic, and I believe that I truly encountered God, like the stable, when I was 7 at Shields Funeral Home on Independence Avenue. It was Aunt Jeanette's funeral, and I just realized that my mom and dad could die like Jeanette did, and I was so sad. And I went to the bathroom, and it was like the golden beams of light, like touched by an angel, God saying, I will always be with you. I remember that time, and I can still feel that, but I don't know where God is or where God is leading me right now. My mom came to the door that day and could hear me crying, and I said, oh, I was okay, but I don't think I ever told her that God moment. It was just kind of between you and me. I think in heaven, like we are 1,000 lives within us, we'll be finally meeting all these people who are pictured in my living room. I only knew a few of them, maybe met a few, most of them dead before I was born. But when it's about 3 o'clock in here or 7 in the summer, it's just resplendent life with the yellowish kind of walls. And I know that they're all here. And this, my living room, that helps me live because it was the only family room ever. A family. I've tried out the Methodist and Disciples of Christ. And I tried to share my gifts and talents there and to help others find God. There's a picture of Jesus welcoming a woman to heaven. And I believe that will absolutely be what it's like, but so much more. I'd like to see and feel a touch of that, and I did with Doug here on earth. But I want to share the love that's within me and have someone love me here on earth before I leave. I want to experience that fullness of love in every way. But that doesn't seem to be God's plan. I believe that heaven will be a reunion. I'm not scared about it at all. It'll just be a release and a peace and just the greatest feeling of goodness and grace. I can't wait to meet all of them. For finally, I believe I will feel whole. Of course, that's what heaven is about. And I believe that I would be so much better and healthy if I had had someone, friends, or that someone to love me all along in life. I think some of my illnesses would go away. I regret that I was too trusting and that I believed and hoped in people and things way longer when the evidence showed that wasn't true. I look at who I was before all this happened, but I know that there's no way I could be working now, and I even hesitate to do the part-time voc rehab. I can't wait to say hello to everyone and for them to give me that love too. What have I learned from life? Not to hope, believe, and trust, and to reset expectations. Yet it's a quandary of wanting to expect and hope. I wonder what God says about what I've done so far. And what I want to be remembered for, I don't think there'll be anyone at my funeral, and certainly not down at my burial in Pierce City, Missouri, where I got the free plot. I have all my stuff on my funeral table like Ed Hayes, with my pictures and my burial stuff and the service, my picture for my tombstone. It's all paid for. Now I just have to live in between. I'm proud to say that I am English, Irish, Polish, Austrian, German, Russian, Jewish, and Ukrainian, and Black. I'm glad that I've gone to those places. And I'm mostly glad that I've done my 4 tribute trips for Daddy. They've been amazing. One on my own after I was suspended for 2 weeks from the VA. And one with Eddie to England and France. And another with Germany, Ossenburg, Daddy's Bronze Star place, and Holland. He's been a great guide as well as his dog Jesse. And we even went to places where the Hobdi side was from, in England that I didn't even know about, Bodmin. I've gone to Berlin, Czechoslovakia, Krakow, Warsaw by myself on a Christmas time. My favorite stories of Daddy and Mother. Daddy and the canary of Mr. Souter down the street. And Mr. Souter wanted his bird to sing, so he put Russian vodka in it. My dad said, I don't think that's going to be good. And then Mr. Souter said the bird was singing, and then all of a sudden it flipped over. And Daddy would get on the floor and act like that bird. That was so funny with its little claws. I'll never get over that. And Mother, with the joke of two jokes, one with the priest in the cemetery who comes up in the grave and says, your mother owes me $5, when the drunk says, who are you? And then he kept putting $5 behind the statue of Mary, and the drunk took some money, and then he thought he was gypped. Another one, a person fell into the grave, woke up the next morning and said, glory be to God, it's resurrection day and I'm the first one up. As I watch war movies, Mommy and I would never have ever guessed or fathomed or understood what Daddy went through and why Daddy walked hard and why his feet hurt so bad and his whole body and how he didn't need to be harmed in the end and how I didn't want to hurt him. I thought I was helping him with his Alzheimer's to go to the facility and to get away from possible situations with he with Mother and Mother with him. That last day when I went to be with him and gave him the donut and the coffee, and I started crying, and he said, Barbara Ann, why are you crying? I said, because Daddy, you're so sick. And he said, don't worry, those two men over there are going to take me over there. That was our painting that we had in the living room. And Mother, her last words, she was always talking about last words. She said her last words were, I don't want to talk, when I said, we should have gone to the cardiologist. I was so alone, but I just had to get over that then because there wasn't anything else to do. So alone is something that I've said so many times in my life. So continuing, I'm in the living room where I began my life with my tree on for the Magi because I've had a lot of lights, especially my mom and dad, who have led me to where I am today. We always walk into an unknown future, but I really feel I do now. And I feel like the poem at the Statue of Liberty, longing and yearning to be set free for love and for connection. No one will ever know my story when I'm gone. I'll just be vanished. I can't wait for those heaven connections in the sky. I want you to know that I was a person who was alone a lot, but also comfortable with that and had confidence. No grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, siblings, kids, grandkids. Like the song, Alone Again Naturally. So that's always made me a unique person, different, stuck out, etc. Because it's just a different existence. And even when people tell me about their kids, grandkids, whatever, husbands, I don't even have a frame of reference for that. I was loved greatly by my mom and dad. Genetic depression with my mom was so hard for her and for us, and for the relationships that I could have had with them. But I am grateful for the relationships that I did. And I can't imagine how far I've come since when I first walked through these kitchen louver doors into my world of my house, the house that built me. There were breakoffs on both sides of the family. And that's why I'm alone now, and because I left community And those people have mostly died, or they're in the nursing home, or the young ones never had anything to do with me. They said the older people liked me better, whatever that is about. I love doing genealogy to try to find my people. Even if they're dead, it's more of a connection to the live ones that I don't know or that are here. My mom and dad loved me with all they absolutely had within them. And I tried to love them back, especially in the last 10 years of their lives, with Daddy in the nursing home with Lewy body dementia and Mother post leg and arm fracture and with her ileostomy. But she was at home until the day she died, practically. I always wanted to be a princess, and Daddy and I would build a castle with sleeping bags and the dining room chairs, and it was magical. I'm looking at a little castle I bought right now. He would say, "Where is my princess?" And I would say, "Where is my prince?" And he talked about the moats at the castles in Europe when he was in the war. It was magical. I've done 4 different tribute trips for my dad as his little princess. I could have done really well with taffeta and tiaras my whole life. But one trip I went to Normandy and Bastogne, another for the 80th of Normandy, another for Bastogne, Germany, France, and another in the southeast of England where he trained, in Bodmin of the Hobdiv clan in France. It was magical, and I met a person named Eddie along the way, who's from Belgium, and he and Jesse the dog have been my tour guides. I find myself with disability with having 13 head injuries in my life, 12 diagnoses, not able to dance anymore. Sometimes it's really hard to think and process and assess, but that I do because that's what my mom and dad told me. See a situation, assess it, pros and cons, what are contingency plans, and go out there with no fear. The Sisters of Charity of Leavenworth, I thought, and I do believe, was my calling and my dream. I was there for 27 years, 26. And I had just found out that I think they defriended me on Facebook when I've just presented comments or additions that were helpful. And the embezzlement that Anne did, and I alerted them 10 years before and nothing was done. And I don't know what tales they told at Cristo Rey High School, where I had to leave because of Daddy's sickness, and all that was going on that I could never tell everyone. Maureen already put the stake in me for what she did know. They had me sign a, not to tell kind of letter. And it was all about this stuff that they knew, which I started throwing up the last year to them, and they started coming down on me. But it's just disguise and deceit and betrayal. I had experienced that in grade school, which was a great lesson in September of first grade. But I, like Churchill, go on. I wanted to be somebody like Churchill or Jimmy Carter or someone else who really used all their gifts and talents to be all they could be. I still want that, but I don't know how to do that. I want someone to know me in my fullness, and that so many things along the way are a blessing. On Facebook, which will probably be outdated by the time people listen to this, each morning I try to send things that are uplifting, that are funny, that refuting wrong history and urging people to move to action today. I truly admire the people who were part of the resistance in what the Dutch and the French and Polish, whoever. I want someone to know that I existed. And that's part of why I do this. There was a person in my life at one point, Tom White, who helped me, and I would not be alive today were it not for him for 3 years when I was so sick when I left community. I think I align more in life and have to keep as a life lesson of Erwin Rommel, of the Siegfried Line, Dunkirk, of the mines, and not to forget. It's hard to believe and trust and have faith, hope, and love after all the pain. But I guess that's what you do to maybe find it again. I was born to be so much more than I feel I am right now. To be fully alive. And to hopefully be loved by someone. That's part of my testament for the here and beyond, that I've tried to love, and I hope they felt that. And I've tried to be all that my parents believed in me to be, and to use their gifts and talents that they gave me in creativity and ingenuity and inventiveness, infinite inventiveness, like St. Vincent de Paul. And to just be all that God created me to be. That's what I so want. And I believe that would also be helpful if someone was in my life to love and to love me.